Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics in Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from San Diego is Dean Gonzowski. Dean is the Chief Revenue Officer of Active Navigation. And today we're going to be talking about data issues and how you understand what data you have and how you manage it appropriately from a compliance perspective. First of all, Dean, thanks for taking some time to talk to us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, so let's start today with a question that isn't asked probably as much as it should when it comes to data security issues, which is, what's the right amount of consumer information to collect?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for folks who follow Simon Sinek's work, the start with why thesis that he has, and I think that's probably a good place to start here, which is, you know, why are you collecting the data? And I think organizations for the last 20 years have been consumed with collecting as much as they could. And in many instances were limited by technology or capacity or time with customers. And so there was this voracious appetite for data collection and aggregation. And 20 years ago, data privacy wasn't a thing. Here, certainly in the States. And for a lot of people, there was this belief, well, even if we don't use it, let's collect it. And maybe one day, things like artificial intelligence, machine learning, search technologies will allow us to mine the data and glean, nuggets of insights that historically weren't possible. And I think there's a few things that have happened to make that kind of viewpoint much more of a fallacy. And one is that it's very difficult technologically to just point machine learning at a big mass of data and say, tell us something interesting. That you're seeing data science really mature in terms of how they cleanse and aggregate and harmonize and do a bunch of things with data before they apply machine learning to it. So one is that just a lot of data and machine learning doesn't equal insights. And two, and maybe more importantly, certainly for the compliance professionals out there, is that there is now definitive liability associated with retaining, storing, and otherwise protecting personal information for their various customers, consumers, and partners. And so you have this sort of the calculus, I think, has changed where the potential benefit really hasn't materialized and the potential liability has continued to increase, whether it's with the GDPR or the CCPA or these other various data privacy initiatives. They've made it so that both at a state level, domestic level, and international level, there are risks with data leakage because of private information.
Yeah, definitely the math is not good these days in case of an incident, and the equation has changed really dramatically. Now, so where do businesses go wrong in terms of their data collection practices? I mean, you mentioned one, which is the tendency to say, well, let's just grab everything we possibly can. Are there other common mistakes that lead people into really dangerous situations?
Yeah, there are a few, and they may end up sounding really obvious, but you'd be surprised how many companies struggle with this. First of all, most companies don't understand their data estate very well. When I talk about data estate, people refer to data universe or data inventory. It really breaks down into two large camps. There's the structured data, and I won't go into huge levels of detail, but there's structured systems. There's everything from your Microsoft's suite of information and those applications to things like Salesforce and HR systems and all these systems that are have continued to proliferate, and now companies have hundreds of these systems, but they're relatively well monitored and manicured in terms of the information that goes in and how it goes out and how it's managed. And then there's the other side of the equation, which is the unstructured data repositories out there. And what's happening with those, and those are file shares and other types of largely ungoverned storage areas. And those areas over the last in a decade or so have really been allowed by companies to proliferate, and under the auspices of, oh, we'll just have these massive file shares, or G drives and sort of cloud storage as many ways proliferated this issue. And so it makes it very possible for companies to actually not know what data they have. And you would be surprised with a lot of our customers, whether it's the Marine Corps or some MasterCard or somebody in the commercial space. It is very difficult for organizations of those size to really understand how much data they have, and how well it's regulated. And the challenge is, if you don't understand your data estate, just like you can think of tons of examples, it's very hard to protect what you don't understand. And that's where the protection and the taking the proper level of care of private and personally identifiable information really becomes decoupled. And so I would say, the first step for many organizations is the understanding of the data that they're hosting and they're maintaining and they're protecting. And if you can't start at that foundational level, it makes it very hard to make other decisions about retention and use and life cycle and all the other things. And so for us, mapping and inventorying and cataloging data are all things that are good building blocks for other later governance steps.
Yeah, and inventorying data is often a problem because organizations don't realize always who's collecting what data, where it's stored, and pieces are all over the place. What have you found is the best way to get a proper inventory?
Well, I mean, without getting into a promotional piece, there are types of software. Ours is one of them. Active Navigation has a software called Discovery Center that does that. But it does that as kind of a first step to later things, classification and deletion, migration, and those sorts of things. I think you're going to see increasingly companies spend more time really just at the inventory level. And we are seeing some companies take inventory and create maps. I don't say for map's sake, but as an exercise in and of itself. And you obviously have to have, some of the people and processes involved, and understand how custodians store information and understand, business units and locations and things of that nature. But technology definitely does play a big part in it. The old days of data mapping, you would go out and interview lots of custodians. That's not a bad idea, but it definitely needs to be buttressed with the use of technology, because what you don't want to do, we're both in California, it's the classic Golden Gate Bridge. The second you're done painting it, you got to start painting it again. And so it's very easy historically for data maps and that exercise to become obsolete almost the second you finish it. And that's where I think the software helps create a constancy where it is refreshed periodically and doesn't get stale quickly.
Now, how can compliance teams best ensure that their business people collect only the data that they should be collecting?
I think that maybe is probably the most interesting question, and it's certainly one that is not really addressed by technology, but addressed by policy. And I think that's where you're seeing notions around data privacy come into focus with terms that we're using and others are using around data minimization. And so minimization by design has to be a strategic imperative within the company to say, just because we can collect data doesn't mean we should collect data. And that's much more difficult because people are used to, technologically hoarding information. Whether you think about your personal life and music or photos or things that you've just kept. I mean, it's very, we come from an era where, like, I just want to have 19 backups of everything because I can't lose a photo from, 20 years ago. And so we're conditioned to over proliferation. And I think that's one of the areas where compliance officers, certainly legal, data privacy officers, other areas really need to work with a company to think about the purposeful, intentional, and minimal collection of data, because once you collect it, you now have an obligation. In the past, you could just collect stuff willy-nilly. It's like a giant, garage. Just you find something on the street and you throw it in your garage because you might use it one day. I think nowadays, and I don't see this trend reversing anytime soon, by collecting something, you've created an obligation to protect it. And that's a non-trivial obligation. It often is expensive, and there are legal, regulatory, and other sort of fines and sanctions if you fail to maintain that duty. And that's a very different landscape than we've seen it even a decade ago.
Yeah, and I don't think you would have, in the old days, if you talked about data minimalization, it was because you didn't have room to store the data. Suddenly, I think we've seen, the sort of boomerang effect where now we have so much capacity to store. There's just too much there. And it's, to use your garage analogy, eventually you get a garage that's bursting at the seams. You don't know what half the stuff is there, why you have it, but if anything goes wrong, it's not good. So let's say an organization has taken the necessary steps. They've inventoried the data. They've taken a look at what they have and then what also that they need. They set policies in place to make sure that they only focus on collecting and keeping the data that they need. There's still always going to be creep out there with people grabbing other things. What's the best way to monitor and audit the data collection and management process so you make sure you sort of stay in focus and within the parameters that you set?
Yeah, that's a common question. And I think once we talked about data mapping and once you have a good sense of your data estate, I'll use a very specific example. So let's many companies have set amounts of duplicate data, and the technology can tell you that. And sometimes that can range average, I would say, between 25 and 30% for most organizations. There are ways to address that technologically. And then the thing you would need to do, and I think this is hopefully getting to your question, is how do you stay on top of that? How do you refresh that? And how do you understand, is the company just recreating the problem? This is a little bit of the, do you dam the stream or do you drain the swamp? And I think you see in a lot of these governance initiatives that you need to do both. You need to think about damming the stream in terms of like, I need to stop the bad behavior, which is important, and I need to clean things up. And those two often work in concert because you can go back to the garage analogy, and I don't know about you, but in pandemic, there's been a good opportunity to clean the garage, but there's also just as equal
We
opportunity.
literally have.
Yes, well, there's great opportunity to, once your garage just has room in it, to throw more stuff in it. So you have to have that kind of discipline of both, that yin and the yang of maintaining of creating the space and the governance and cleaning things as you should, and then making sure that they don't just revert back to the state they were before.
Yeah, that certainly is going to take a lot of ongoing buy-in. And, oddly, I think it takes the same commitment that it took to weed things out to keep things from going back in. I know certainly, I think we all know that from our own personal lives. And as you point out, as soon as you clean out the garage, somebody's going to say, oh, good, we have a place now to put this thing.
Yes,
Um,
exactly.
it's not exactly helpful, just sort of shuffling things around. Well, Dean, thank you so much for taking the time to share these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.